And it is a prophetic thing we normally do, and it's called emotional alignment. Somebody say emotional alignment. One time, I gave a prophecy to someone. I said, you, he's a musician. I said, God says he wants to take you far, but you're not prepared emotionally. And because of this, you will not. Emotions deals with your reasoning, your thinking. Your emotions are supposed to be aligned with what God says you are. There are people right now who are watching me now. Of course, they're watching. But there is no integrity between what they think and what they believe. If you see a person asking themselves questions, how will this thing happen? Or what will happen? What if? And they are worried, scared. Such people, it's not like they don't believe. All they have to do is what we call emotional alignment. They have to align their emotions, their emotional capabilities to that which God is saying. This exercise is very important when we want to exercise our faith. Say with me, emotional alignment. Say it again, emotional alignment. Say with me, it is very important, before exercising my faith. So he said, what do you mean? I said, God says he wants to take you far with your music, but emotionally, you are not ready. Can you imagine where we have somebody else who God says, I want to make him a gospel star, and I want him to represent. No, there are very few. There are very few gospel stars. And there's that vacuum where God wants to bless people and make them take over in the music industry and become stars for Christ. You were there, right? But the person emotionally was not ready. So I told him, I said, listen. So he said, what do you mean? I said, listen, your thinking is limited with your budget, with your circle, with how the producer is doing the music. I said, if your thinking is limited to that, and then you're worried about it's not going anywhere. I said, if your thinking is worried in that emotionally, you are not ready. Because somebody who's about to take off, I tell you the truth, even how they speak is different. Somebody says, I'm here. That we call that the diesel of faith. The gasoline of faith. The petrol of faith. Where you wake up in the morning, you have this boldness. Shava. Certain boldness to say, I'm getting there now. It's like no one can tell you otherwise. You just know I'm getting there. I'm getting there. And it means that your emotions are now aligned. Say emotional alignment.
Emotional alignment.
All right, now let's go into the scriptures quickly. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
This is not about a moment to feel better. This is to denounce the war within. What God says versus what your mind tells you. Sometimes if your emotional alignment has not been done, you can become an enemy of yourself. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. Somebody say emotional alignment.
Emotional alignment.
One leader in my church came and told me, said, they are fighting me so much, I want to resign. Say with me, emotional alignment.
Emotional alignment.
One time I was preaching to some people. Then I said, after teaching about faith, I said, the faith, after teaching about faith, then I said, who can give $200? Only four people stood up. That's when I knew that preaching, eh? So you mean you where you are sitting, you not believe in God for $200? They're like, Papa, we are waiting, but we don't have. Faith, it is not what you think you have. Some things that you think is faith is just emotions. It's exactly how somebody who's visiting a witch doctor is also thinking. They are in trouble and they need a solution. And when they are told to go to which doctor, they go. And they believe the charm would work. The same way they believe is also how some of you believe that something is going to happen. It's not faith. It's panic. So it's so possible you can live for 20 years in church thinking you're believing, yet it's just panic attack. Faith, it is a living. Faith, we don't exercise faith when we're in trouble. We live it. When you are sleeping, you know I'm God's child. Nothing can happen to me. When you're walking in a car, you know I'm God's child. It is not when you're in danger that you're like, oh, now, in the name of Jesus, shut up. Faith is a reality. We live it. It's just in Him we live. We move. And we have our being. Am I talking to you? Our existence is in faith. We don't believe because there's something that we want God to fight for us. Like, oh, they are fighting me now. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So you only quote scriptures when you're in danger. Are you here, right? Somebody say with me again, emotional alignment.
Emotional alignment.
Let me say something to you. So we have people right now who think faith, it is when they have got a problem and they're believing God can solve it. That's not faith. Faith is believing that you are different. Faith is when you believe that nothing can happen to you. What did Jesus say to his disciples? When they were in the boat and the boat was about to sink. And they said, Master, look at what is happening. The boat is about to sink. What did Jesus say? You of little faith. Why? Because you're supposed never to believe that a boat can sink when you are here. Say with me, my boat will not sink.
My boat will not sink.
That's faith. How do you even think that something worse would happen? How would you even think something worse will happen? So I wake up every day in the morning knowing nothing worse will happen to me. Even if you're like, oh, this is so dangerous. Nothing will happen. That's faith. Faith is a living. Now, so what happens? What happens is that your faith can be there. But what betrays your faith is your emotions. Because you are a human. And the Bible says the flesh fights against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. So if you do not align your thoughts, your emotions, what will happen? Your flesh will betray the spirit. Your emotions will betray the spirit. And you'll still be human. In everything, you will pray, no results. The Bible says, though, in verse 3, well, just read there.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Though we walk in the flesh. So you may look at us right now. It says, see the scripture. It says, though we walk
in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh.
People may look at you like this. But we are not war, fight. We don't fight in the flesh. So imagine you are fighting according to what you are thinking. Imagine you are fighting according to what you are passing through and what you are seeing around you. That's fighting in the flesh. So you may think I'm fighting in the spirit, while you're actually fighting in the what? Your prayer is influenced by the flesh. And you may think you are fighting in the spirit, like my prayer is so spiritual. I am praying right now. I command this to happen, that to happen. Yet your prayer is being led by what? By your emotions. Say, I align my mind.
I align my mind.
Emotionally.
Emotionally.
Are you here, right? So when you begin to understand, how can I align my mind? But that's a very important thing, because aligning your mind, it is when you begin to understand that you are in the spirit, firstly. I am in the spirit and not in the flesh. Two, I can never lose, I'm winning. Three, is when you begin to understand that Christ is in you. Let me give you something. We're going to do some exercises before we go ahead today, because trust me, it's very important to do emotional alignments. Are you there? Otherwise, I tell you, you'll be in church like this. Have you ever asked yourself a question? To say, like, in the days of Elisha, there were how many people who were believing in God? So many. But what was so different with Elisha? Ever ask yourself a question? In the days of Moses, how many people were there? But trust you me, they never saw God. When they pray, as if they're not praying. But Elijah, when just makes a God was moving. Are you here? Do you really think it was an issue to do with one being more favored? No. It was alignment. I told you on Friday, can you imagine Elijah would make a prayer believing that the prayer he is making, it will rain, not tomorrow. And after praying, then he will send someone, go and check. Have you ever gotten that level, you, where you actually pray in your room? After praying, then you check in your bank account if it entered. There is nothing. Then you make another prayer. Then you check again. There's nothing. You make another prayer. You will check again. You will make another prayer. You will check again. And you are not giving up. You would actually give up. Just say, "Ish. Hi." These men had alignments. They knew that if can you imagine getting a level where you actually challenge people? You say, put water. Put water on this sacrifice. Put water. And then he says, God, you are a God who answers by fire. He says, answer now. And he says, if I don't call the fire, cut my neck. It's not like God told him to do it. It's him who said it. Are you here? The woman who her husband died in debt. The Bible says when she went to a prophet, she never said, God says, go and borrow vessels from your neighborhood. The prophet never said God was saying. It was the prophet telling her. An act of faith. The prophet said, go borrow all the vessels around you. Put them in your house and begin to pour. It wasn't God who spoke. It was the prophet's faith. If the woman had faith on her own at the house, she could have done it and it could have worked. But imagine her thinking like, if I take oil now and I begin to pour in a vessel, it will be full. And I pour another one, it will be full. She never believed that. But when a prophet said, she believed it, but it's a prophet. And the reason why we prophesy to you is because when we say it, oh, yes. I am a prophet, I said, let me go into it. Oh, yes. But what we speak to is faith. I told the woman, I said, go at the garage on Tuesday. A man will come there, he will greet you, and he will give you a number. That one will be your husband. The woman went at the garage on the Tuesday, and the man was there. And then she introduced even the man to church. So they came to church to say, I met her. Oh, so I'm introducing the guy. A bank manager. Not skorokoro. Got married. Now listen to this. Got married. If this woman knew, I never even, it's not God who came and said, Shepherd, tell the woman to go out there. No. When I said it, I know it will not fail. When I said it, I know it won't fail. Even herself, if she had the faith, without the prophecy, she would have woken up in the morning and said, I'll go at this location, I'll find my husband. It could have worked. You can do this at home. This one is allowed to do at home. I'm not saying don't try at home. I'm saying try it at home. It's emotional alignment. Some here. Say emotional alignment. Listen to this. It's very important. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. I'm about to get you somewhere else through the teaching. But I don't want to talk about faith before this part. So maybe faith will talk tomorrow, who knows. But today let's deal with alignment. Amen. Emotional alignment. Amen. Okay, now let's talk this. Imagine you're on the wheelchair, like that woman in the morning, and you can't walk, and you are feeling pain. And I asked the woman, I said, can you walk? She says, no. I said, why? I said, I feel like I don't have a back. In the morning, that lady who walked from the wheelchair, she said, I feel like I don't have a back. My spinal cord has got a very severe problem. It's damaged. I said, oh, okay. So I spoke to her. I said, I just want you to know. I said, see yourself walking. Because you have to align your emotions with what God is saying. So I prayed. My prayer wasn't to say, God heal her. No, I never even prayed, so God heal this woman. My prayer was, God, please, I pray, give her faith. Give her faith. All my prayer was, give her faith. Make her believe. Make her believe. Because it's her faith that will make her well. You see, when you're a child in the spirit, you are going for a healing ministry or to pray for somebody, you'll be praying, God, use me to heal with the people. when you grow up, you stop praying such prayers. You say, God, when I arrive there, give them faith. The Bible says when Paul was preaching, as he was preaching, there was one man. And Paul saw that the man had the faith to be healed. If Paul didn't see that faith, he would have left the man sick the way he was. And there were other people who were also sick in the congregation. But the Bible said when Paul saw the man had the faith to be healed, Paul said, rise up and walk. So when you are learning ministry, you'll be like, Father, Lord, use me as I pray for people. I want to see them being healed. When you grow up, you begin to say, Father, I pray, may the gift of faith accompany me, that as I minister, people should have faith. And should we watch my ministry when I minister? Everybody has faith around me. Too much faith, eh? If right now I can just say, raise up your phone, the man will begin to appear on your phone. You will see people, they'll be like, I got it 1 million now. It's for another day. It's for another day. Somebody say, emotional alignment. Say it again.
Emotional alignment.
What God is saying to you,
yes,
versus what comes in your mind. In verse 4 of the same scripture, it says what?
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Casting down what? Arguments. What arguments? God says that you are going far. Another thought says you are passing through a lot. You didn't hear me. What is God saying? And the other man, what is it saying? Look what you're going through. What are you having? Arguments. So before we put down Satan somewhere, before we command witchcraft, there is a battle within. You're not getting me. Before you stand and say, in the name of Jesus, you see, most of you, the spiritual warfare you make is so emotional and it's in the flesh. Before you command that Satan to come out, there is a battle within. Somebody say argument. The Bible says casting down. It says the battle we have is not in the what? In the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, but we don't fight in the flesh. We fight in the spirit. Then the Bible tells you what is in the flesh. It says, in the flesh, there are arguments in our thoughts. Imagine after praying, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. I am a winner. I am a child of God. I am a winner. At night, you are sleeping like this. You can't even sleep. Like, I don't know how things will be. That is an argument. So before we command Satan somewhere else, every argument, that you should leave argument free.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the doctor said, what the lawyer said, what the judgment said. What matters is what God said. Amen. Raise your hand and say, I align my mind.
I align my mind
with what God says.
With what God says.
Say emotional alignment.
Emotional alignment.
One time, I told somebody, I said, you, in fact, not one, I've spoken to several people, say, you, God says he will use you financially. And the person will check in his bank account with what God is saying, they don't tarry. God says, God says you will go far, but the things that are happening, battles after battles, and guess what? Eventually your mind begins to look so much on the battles and you forget what God said. Somebody said, you begin to see so much what you are passing through, and you forget what God said. You become overwhelmed with what scripture says, with what the prophet said, or with what God spoke to you by revelation. And guess what happened? You begin to talk more of your situation than the word of God. I speak an alignment in the mighty name of Jesus. An alignment in your emotions. Let's get far. It says, pulling down, Korashanta, casting down arguments. Now, before we go further, I want you to raise up a hand and say, I cast it down. Arguments.
Arguments.
In my mind.
In my mind.
Arguments.
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 I cast you down.
I cast you down.
I am what God says I am.
I am what God says I am.
I can achieve what God says I can achieve.
I can achieve what God says I can.
I am not defined by my salary.
I am not defined by my salary.
I am not defined by my current situation.
I'm not defined by my current situation.
I am not defined by my bank account.
I'm not defined by my bank.
I am defined by the word of God.
I am defined by the word of God.
See beyond your bank account. See beyond your medical report. See beyond what the court is saying. See beyond your current situation. Yes. That is faith. Can we move further? Casting down arguments. Number one, arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are things in your mind. They are raising themselves so high above what God knows about you. Knowledge is to know. It is beyond what God knows about you. Listen to me very well. There are people who don't even know that actually their current life, which they're living today, is not what God said they are. But something raised itself what? Very high above what God knows about them. Say, I cast it down.
I cast it down.
Say it again. Say, I cast it down.
I cast it down.
Every high thing. There are some sicknesses. They are trying to come in your body against what God said about you. Say, I cast it down.
I cast it down.
There are financial problems coming against you. You're having financial problems right now. There are finances coming against you. And you don't know why these finances are coming against you. God said, you are rich. Now, what is happening? It is against what? The knowledge of God. In other words, your current status, it is an opposition of what God knows about you. And the Bible says we need to cast it down. So when I am praying in the spirit, I'm not praying because I'm in a need. That's being in the flesh. I am praying based on what God said about me. Oh, you didn't hear me. You see the difference? When a person is praying when they're in a need, they're in a need. Father, Lord, I pray, open my life. I need money. I need this. Another one says, Lord, you said, I am blessed. You said, now, I am not praying because I have a need. I am not praying an emotional prayer. I am praying because God said, and what I'm facing is against what God said. And because what I'm passing through is against the word of God, I have to bring it down. So the Bible says, casting down everything that exalts itself against what God said. The knowledge. I lay my hand upon you now. I cast down every argument. That sickness shouldn't start making you start doubting and asking yourself questions. What is really happening with me? That's an attack. The enemy is raising an argument to make you start doubting and questioning. I bring down that argument and I speak your healing. I bring down argument and I speak a promotion. I bring down argument and I speak a miracle. Marus praanta kapahate. See what the Bible says. Let's just go ahead. I want you to see something here that is very important. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought
into captivity.
Into captivity to the obedience
of Christ.
Of Christ. Where you make your thinking a captive. That even if you want to think that you will fail, you can't think that because you're a captive of thinking you'll win. You're not getting it. Are you here?
Yes.
Are you still here? Imagine Jesus come. He comes and he finds his disciples are using the boat they are leaving. Are you there?
Yes.
Then he comes like this and he finds a lake. Water starts there and it's coming from here. He doesn't come and stop and decide, bind the water. Become solid now. He doesn't even think of what will happen. He just comes and says, hey, hey, hey. They just start walking on the water and going. The moment it would be a thought, I will sink. The moment Peter said, he began to sink. Because in the spirit, it's about you, your thoughts being made captive to the obedience of Christ. Are you here? If you have a neighbor, say, neighbor. I want to believe in a way that if I tell you now, that you must be very careful. I might borrow you $10 million shortly. You should just believe, neighbor. And somebody's watching me like this. They have been thinking, I would die like this. I would never touch $1 million. That's nothing. When I see you in the spirit, I see greatness around you.
I see.
So the moment now that thought is coming, you say, so but how? I'm not employed. I'm even struggling now. That how is an argument. As long as there's an argument, you will never see it. There was one man, a prophet was saying, tomorrow morning. Are you here, right?
Yeah.
A prophet said, tomorrow morning, every one of you, everyone, will buy things very cheap. It was Elisha. As Elisha was talking, one man said, what you are speaking, I know you're a man of God, but what you are speaking, practically, the man was a mathematician and an accountant, a chartered accountant from an institute of accounts. No. You read your Bible. He was a steward. He was like a finance minister for the king of Samaria. Are you here, somebody? And the man said, I know what you're talking about, but practically, what you are saying, it does not basically make sense because for markets to change. Are you here, right? Then the man began to talk about markets, how markets must shift, how for the currency to become stable. The prophet said, tomorrow morning, the whole currency in Samaria will change. And the price, the whole inflation, he said, tomorrow morning, the inflation is going to go down. The man said, no, I know you're a man of God, but what you are saying here, it can happen, but tomorrow, maybe you should say 6 months. The prophet said, everyone here will see it happening, but not you. And not you. May God help us. May God help us. Imagine everyone receiving men as you. Because emotionally, the man was arguing. When the prophet said it, the man was arguing. He said, what you are saying, I know, but how? If I pray, if I ever pray against enemies that I have, the first enemy I always pray against is the flesh. Your emotions can betray you. If there was a thing apostles prayed for, it was not for miracles. They prayed that God should give them what? Boldness. The opposite of boldness is what? Fear. And what is fear? An emotion. Give us boldness. And that was a prayer. All the apostles, give us boldness. That's where they would see a man sick, can't walk. They would say in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Because if you put emotions, and they are telling you to say, since he was born, he has never walked. And you put emotions, there'll be fear. Say, why if he doesn't walk? And you do that in Jerusalem. And the Pharisees are watching. Not now. If they don't walk, people just, they're all believers. But I'm saying, you're telling someone in the street, and there are those who don't believe, and say, rise up, he will walk with this one. I'm not talking about in a congregation where there's only a church. I'm talking about where Pharisees at the beautiful gate. This man, Jesus had passed there several times. And he never healed him. The Bible says he was staying there since he was born. And he was lame since he was born. So the miracle of Jesus passed him by. So the man was used to be begging. And it's on the first time he begged from Peter. The man was asking for gold and silver. Like seriously. He sees Peter. He says, I need silver and gold right now. When people look at you, they see God. Are you here? Say, my mind, my emotions align to the word of God, to the voice of God.
The voice of God.
The more you pray for alignment, the more you find yourself walking in miracles. Tonight, may God touch you. Wherever you're watching right now, may God touch you in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I stand in alignment.
I stand in alignment.
With what the prophet just said right now.
With what the prophet just said.
I receive the touch of God.
I receive the touch of God.
1 Samuel 10, verse 6. Now, a prophet meets Saul. And this boy, he was looking for his missing donkeys. Then the prophet says, the donkeys you're looking for have been found. But that's not why you are here. The reason you are here is because you are a king. The man says, me? He says, yeah. However, when you leave where I am now, you will, as you'll be going back home, you will meet a group of prophets. Hear this part now. When you meet them, the Spirit of God will come upon you in power. And what will happen next? You will begin to prophesy with them. Why? What is to prophesy? It's when you speak things. You can prophesy to yourself by saying, I am not sick. I will not be sick. I will not lose. That's prophesying. Now, can you imagine that you are being told you will be a king? But the condition must be, you should meet the prophets and you should do some prophecies for yourself. So, The prophet tells Elisha, then the spirit,
and the spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man.
So what will change you to become another person is the fact that you prophesy about yourself. I know you're not getting this at all. I know you're not getting this. So I prophesy to myself.
I prophesy to myself.
I am not a victim.
I am a victor.
I am not a loser.
I am not a loser.
I prophesy.
I am a winner. I am winning.
I prophesy to myself. Now imagine the scripture says you will become a king. However, you must meet prophets and the spirit of God will come upon you and you will begin to what? To prophesy. As you begin to prophesy, you will be changed into a different person. If you are sick, you will be turned into a healed person. If you are poor, you will be turned into a rich person. You shall be turned only when you begin to what? Now, let's go ahead now. Now, this same man who has been told that, what happens next? In chapter 15, all right? Verse 23, what happens?
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king.
The scripture says, because you have rejected the word. Hello.
Yes.
Because you have done what?
Rejected the word.
So God has also rejected you from being a king. Wait. Imagine God says to you that you are going far. Then in your mind you are saying, I'm passing through a lot. What are you doing? You are rejecting what God is saying. Imagine God is saying to you, imagine God is saying to Abraham that you have a child. And Abraham is saying, I know what you are saying, but I'm old. What would be that? One man by the name Zachariah, the Bible says when an angel came and it says, your wife will conceive, the man said, I know, angel, I salute you. But we are old. The Bible says what God did was to remove the man from talking. Why? Because he would use that mouth to be speaking negative things. So he was said he would not speak until the miracle has come to pass. Because some of you can stop the miracle yourself. So God said, I'll remove his voice. Because this man, he'll keep on saying, how would it happen? And there are people right now who are thinking, when they see their bank account, when they see what's happening around them, they are thinking, how would my child get married? How would this happen? How would I pay fees? How would I? Say, I align my mind. Can you imagine God saying, because you have rejected my word, I have also rejected you. You are already a king. And God says, I have rejected you from being king. Listen, the moment you begin to argue with what God is saying in your mind, it's not Satan that will reject you. It's not your neighbor who will reject you. It's God himself who will say, I reject you from being healed. I reject you from getting this miracle. Because you are rejecting. In your mind, the arguments. So the first battle you have is the battle of your mind. Touch your head and say, I align my mind. Hallelujah. Raise up a right hand and say the following words with me. Say, as I raise my hand.
As I raise my hand.
I do not shrink.
I do not shrink.
I am appointed.
I am appointed.
I am anointed.
I am anointed.
And aligned.
And aligned.
For authority.
For authority.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
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 I cast down every imagination.
I cast down every imagination
that rises against the knowledge of God.
That rises against the knowledge of God.
My mind is not a battlefield.
My mind is not a battlefield.
It is the house of God.
It is the house of God.
It is a sanctuary.
It is a sanctuary.
I evict.
I evict
every thought.
Every thought
that carries fear.
That carries fear.
Confusion.
Confusion.
Or doubt.
Or doubt.
I choose thoughts aligned with the power,
aligned with power,
love
and sound mind.
I speak to my thoughts. You do not own me. You report to the truth. And the truth says, I have it.
I am free.
I am great. I will make it.
I have peace.
I have joy. I am healed.
I am delivered.
That's the truth. In my thoughts. As you raise your hand. Say these words. I feel. But I do not follow feelings.
My emotions do not lead me.
I lead them.
Anger.
I hear you.
But you do not reign here.
Fear.
I see you.
But you do not write my story. Sadness.
You can speak.
But you do not decide.
Failure.
I can sense you.
But you do not dominate me.
I am not by feelings.
Neither emotions.
I am a spirit. No one knows where I'm coming from.
No one knows where I'm going.
Apart from myself.
I know where I'm going.
I know where God is taking me.
In Jesus' name.
Now I want you to make a prayer of alignment. Tell your mind, make a prayer from now. I align my thinking with what God says I am. Just make a prayer. Align yourself. So that when God speaks a word, it must find a mind that is aligned. Make a prayer.